Welcome to After Deadline. You're listening to Patrick Webb at The Daily Astorian. I'll be your host today. And we have two gentlemen in the studio that are talking about some important community repairs that need to be made. Our guests today are Milo Haskell. Welcome, Milo.
Thank you.
And Steve Burke.
Hi, Patrick. It's good to be here.
All right. Well, now, what do these two gentlemen have in common? They are both members of Seaport Masonic Lodge. It's Lodge number 7, one of three Masonic lodges here in the north part of Oregon. And Milo's the junior warden, and we'll explain that all the offices and the different Masonic details later in the program. But we're here really to talk about repairs to the building. Milo, you've got a historic building up there, but it's got some problems.
Yes, we've had to put quite a bit of money and resources into the building recently. Within the last year, we had to put a new roof on the building. It was leaking. A lot of the big damage came from the 2007 storm that we had.
Right, that was a big one, and a lot of people got hurt. So you had some really bad damage from that also.
We did. We had water damage. We had a window that had broken out on the north side there of the building. And then we recently had to put about $8,000 into the heating system from an outdated boiler from the 1920s. It was costing us quite a bit of money.
Well, tell us a little about the building. Now, if listeners can sort of visualize this, imagine yourself at the corner of 16th and Franklin, and you're looking towards the river, and you see this beautiful white building with four big pillars outside. It's kind of kitty corner from the PAC, which is the Performing Arts Center there. So that's the Masonic Lodge. What are some of the things that you're going to have to do to restore it to its former glory?
Well, one of the very first things that we're going to have to do is actually tear into what's called the facade on the front. The facade itself is rusting away. It's made up of metal and wood, and the wood itself is rotting and dropping down. It becomes quite a hazard over time, falling objects and stuff like that. We've had a rough estimate of about $50,000 in need of repairs.
That's 50,000?
As in 50,000.
Yep.
Yes, and you know, unfortunately, when we put the money into the roof and into the heating system, that cut into half of our savings account that we had for that. So we're going to have to come up with the rest of the money just to make it safe to actually rent and use the lodge and stuff like that, and to keep any kind of further deterioration from happening to the building itself.
Well, now, the building is obviously used for Masons meetings, and we'll talk about that during the program, the role of the Masons, who they are, and their historic background. But you also actually rent it out for other projects, musical events and proms and things like that. Is that right?
That's right, Patrick. We actually rent out the lodge to the different high schools for their dances that they have. We also rent out for weddings and receptions and birthday parties and other events like that. And the rentals pretty much cover the cost of the building maintenance and paying for the bills. We're a nonprofit organization, so everything that we do actually goes back into the building. And then we actually take part of that building and we give it out to the community, to other nonprofits that are trying to raise money for their events. We've been working with the Women's Resource Center here in the last few years, and they've been holding their soup bowl feeds there that they do. And it's been a big blessing for them, because before they've had to go to other venues and they pay out a lot of money. That money could go back towards actually running their facility. And so it's been a big blessing for them.
Well, good. Well, now, Stephen, tell us a little about your connection with the lodge. Now, you're going to be involved in some fundraising coming up, as are many of the other members.
Yeah. I joined Seaport fairly recently. I became a Mason actually in the Seaside Lodge, Evergreen. But I live in Astoria. And I'm very fond of the Seaport Lodge. I'm a U.S. historian, and so.
Well, now people know you from the college, don't they?
Yeah, I've taught U.S. history at the college for a number of years. I'm retired. I taught at Cal State Long Beach for many years, and then I moved up to Astoria, partly because I love the historicity of this town. This
is that a word? Historicity?
Yeah, historicity, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's certainly a new one for me. Go ahead.
It could be equated with historicalness, but historicalness is not a very good word.
Go ahead.
This is a very historic town, particularly for the West Coast. We're full of wonderful old buildings, and I was on the board of directors at the college when we started at the college the historic restoration program. And the people in that program, John Gutenberger, Lucian Sweerdloff, have looked at the building, are very interested in the building, want to do some work on the column structure in the front of the building, as is mentioned in the article. And that program, the historic restoration program at the college, is one of the most popular programs in the college. It has expanded rapidly. They've done wonderful work in town. This town has more historical buildings in it. It's the oldest Anglo settlement, to use a good term, on the West Coast. There are some Spanish pueblos that probably antedated it, but it's the oldest white American settlement on the West Coast. It, of course, goes back to Lewis and Clark and John Jacob Astor. And that building is a marvelous example of neoclassical architecture. It's the only one of its kind in town. It's considered one of the two most beautiful Masonic lodges in the state of Oregon.
Well, that's quite an achievement for Astoria then, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think it's terribly important. Freemasonry is also very important in the history of the United States. George Washington was a Freemason. Every lodge has a picture of Washington in his apron in the lodge. Ben Franklin, one of my favorite historical figures in American history, one of the most brilliant, was a Freemason. Some of the most gifted founders of this country were Freemasons. So it's a great old American tradition. And this lodge here in town, I think, is a wonderful representative of it.
Well, good deal. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the building. Now, did you say neoclassical style?
Yeah, that's your columns. You know, okay. You bring back the columns. And the building has a kind of a stately quality to it. It's a big rectangular building, and it's quite high. Milo knows every inch of it, and I love to go on Milo's tours when he's giving people tours of it, because he knows all of these marvelous historical artifacts that are in the building, and he showed the report of that.
Outstanding. Stephen's been talking about an article that we did in the Daily Astorian August the 9th, and obviously this is a shameful commercial plug on my part, but it did summarize some of the highlights of the campaign to save the building, and we're sort of referring to it because it's that's the details that we need to know. Well, now tell me, how can members of the public help in terms of with the restoration? Obviously, the Masons are a smallish group in town, and not every member of the community is a member or connected to the group. How can people help out in terms of supporting this program?
Well, one of the biggest ways we get help from the community is recently we've started doing a rummage sale, and the proceeds of the rummage sale have been going back into the building. So we've gotten quite a few donations for that, and then we've actually had quite a few donations of nicer stuff for that rummage sale, and some of that stuff is going to be carried over into our event that we're having September 7th. And then a lot of people have just loved coming into the building itself and looking around. Some of it has to do with those actually looking to be a member of the lodge itself. Like what our Steve was talking about, we're one of the oldest fraternities. We're philanthropists here in Astoria. So one of the biggest ways that people could help out is just come see me, come talk to me. I'm there the last weekend of the month. And I love showing the building. And if you have anything that you'd like to donate towards that cause, we're always gladly accepted. Of course, we are a nonprofit, so that also helps out with that cause.
Okay. Well, now you mentioned an event coming up on September the 7th, and perhaps now is a good time to mention the details of that.
Right. We've got a dinner coming up September 7th. It's at 4 o'clock. We're already selling tickets for that event. The tickets are $40 each, and those proceeds go back into the building, of course. We're offering either prime rib, salmon, or a vegetarian dish. We've got members of the Columbia River Symphony that are going to be coming in and playing music for us. They're going to be playing Celtic, Baroque, and a little bit of, I think it's called American folk is what they put into it.
Okay.
We're also going to be giving a short talk demonstration about Masonic history in here in Astoria. Going to be showing the lodge building itself. So it'd be a good opportunity for those who have not seen the building, who haven't actually lived here 20 or 30 years, to get a good experience with that. And we're getting help out from the local brewery. Fort George Brewery is actually making us a batch of our special own brew that's going to be served there at the lodge. So that is included into the ticket price. And we're going to have stuff up for raffles and silent auctions. We're working out the details and a little bit more here soon. But those tickets will be available for sale at Eminent Workwear or the Fast Lube and Oil here in Astoria.
Okay. All right. Well, you heard it here first on the here on Coast Community Radio. This is Patrick Webb from the Daily Astorian, your host today, and we're talking with Milo Haskell and Steve Burke about the campaign to save the Masonic Lodge building up at 16th and Franklin in Astoria. I think I may have interrupted your flow there, Milo, talking about the event. We're not allowed to give too much on prices on the radio, but tell me what time that event is on September the 7th.
4 o'clock.
Okay, all right. And it's an amount that you pay for the dinner, but obviously that's really a donation to help the building fund.
Yeah, and you get more than just the dinner. I mean, you get this great presentation on the lodge. Just a tour of the lodge is worth a good deal. It's got some marvelous artifacts in it for anybody who's interested in history.
How far back do they date? It seems like some while back, 1850s was when the lodge.
Well, that's when the first, there were pictures of all the people who've been masters of this lodge. They go up the stairs, they're in the front foyer of the lodge, and those go back to the 1850s. There are some ancestors of well-known residents of the town who were masters of the lodge. It's a marvelously historic building, and with the excellent music that's being provided, in addition to a wonderful dinner, and I have had dinner prepared by this particular individual at a previous event, and I can testify to the fact that it'll be a great dinner.
All right. Well, certainly put that date on your calendar, September the 7th. I'm a bit calendar impaired here at the microphone, so what day of the week is that?
Saturday.
It's a Saturday. Okay. All right. Well, that's... I think I'll write that in my calendar too. All right. Well, now let's talk a little about the Masons, because with the Da Vinci Code book and various movies that they've had, National Treasure and others, the Masons have occasionally been in the spotlight, and then they sort of disappear from public view. Tell us about the little details. Obviously, you can't talk about the Masons' secrets, but actually, people say that the Masons are not a secret society, but they're a society with secrets. Do I get that right?
Yeah, except the secrets are so little a part of what Masonry is. We have, you know, it just has to do with the some of the things that take place in the context of a meeting, a service. It's not unlike the liturgy that you get in a church or a synagogue. That part, you know, we memorize it, and it's secret, and it's really there's no deep and dark secrets of Freemasonry. It's funny because Masonry goes back. Modern Masonry actually probably began in Scotland in the 16th century, but Masons like to trace their origins all the way back to the Temple of King Solomon or ancient Egypt in terms of what they called operative masonry, and then you have what's called speculative masonry. The period that Freemasonry really became a popular movement and was very popular in the United States among our founders and others, other prominent people, is in the 18th century, because they were actually the free thinkers. They were, my background is, my research field is American religious history, and my first book that I wrote, I actually had a segment. One of the elections in which Jefferson was elected, he was accused of being a member of the Bavarian Illuminati, which is a much ballyhooed sect of Freemasons that was suppressed by the Jesuits. And then various emigrant exiles from the French Revolution, aristocrats who were exiles from the more extreme phases of the French Revolution, said that the Illuminati had actually gone underground and then surfaced again as the radical Jacobin element in the in the French Revolution. This is pure nonsense. There was a book written in the early 20th century by a writer named Vernon Stauffer. It's in the Columbia University archives. And he exploded that thesis once and for all. But, you know, we have what the historian, great historian Richard Hofstadter, American historian, was well known in the 50s and 60s. He calls it the paranoid style in American history. And we have, to this day, a paranoid style in American history. And Freemasonry comes in for its share of that paranoia. But we're actually a service organization. We are the oldest service organization, and if you look at any of the service organizations today, like the Moose and the Odd Fellows and whatever, the Elks, a lot of their liturgy and their ritual goes back to us. We are kind of the original of the service organizations.
Right. Well, in the interests of full disclosure, I need to tell listeners that I am, in fact, a Mason myself, although over in Washington, I'm a foreigner, I guess. But, America's had a lot of presidents that have been Mason. I think Gerald Ford was the last one, but certainly presidents through history, obviously, Washington and celebrated, and both Teddy and FDR weren't they? So, and in fact, Truman, I believe, was a big Mason. I think was Grand Master of Missouri, wasn't he at one point? If I've got that wrong, I'm sure listeners will call in to correct me. But so it can't be exactly a disreputable organization.
Well, it's public spirited, and it's inevitable that people who are public servants, people involved in government, would become involved in the Mason. It's a way to do public service.
Well, all sorts of people in American history have. I know John Wayne, Red Skelton, and Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon. They all wore the apron, which is what Masons do at their meetings.
And we've had people from all points on the political spectrum, partly because one of the best and wisest things about Freemasonry is we don't discuss religion or politics as part of what we do in our meetings, in our after-meeting time.
I went back to England. I'm an American Mason, but an English person, as most listeners know. And I did go back to England and sat in on an initiation at an English lodge I was invited to attend. And two people being initiated into Masons were a Sikh and a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And instead of the Bible as part of their ceremony, they had the Sikh holy book, which I'm embarrassed to say I don't know the name of, and the Quran were the two books that the gentleman were revering at that point. So it does go all over the world, and there's some countries that crack down on Masonry. Iran is one of them, for example. But if you kind of check it out, it's all over the world.
It's cross-cultural and very tolerant, and it's been known for its tolerance, which was one of the things that was one of its distinctions in the early years. You know, the United States, we have probably one of the richest and most diverse religious lives of any country. Why? Because we don't have a state church, and we were the only country that didn't do that, that separated church and state. And the Freemasons, I think, played a role in that. And consequently, as a result of the separation of church and state, we have a phenomenal proliferation of religions in this country, and a vibrant religious, even as Europe kind of is just kind of secular and religion doesn't play much of a part there, the U.S. is still a very vibrant place in terms of its religion.
Well, let's bring back Milo into the discussion and talk about what Masonry means for you. Now, you're actually the number three in charge of the lodge, the junior warden, and while we won't have listeners' eyes glaze over while we talk over all the different posts, you're obviously moving into a key leadership role. What would you get out of being in the Masons?
One of the biggest things that I've got out of being a Freemason here in Oregon and in Washington, I'm actually a member up in Holquim there, is the ability to sit down and talk with people that we have in something in common. One of the biggest ways to connect with other people is to have something in common. And one of those things is being a Freemason. We've all been there. We've all done that. So we're having able to actually be on the level and talk with other people that I would not be able to talk with on a social level. I'm a mechanic by trade. I work on cars. So for me to be able to sit down and have dinner with, say, the mayor of Warrenton, or to talk with anybody at the college, it's hard to do unless you have something in common. And the nice thing about being a Freemason and having this stuff is in common is we have a common goal, which is to help out the community. And that makes us tighter so that we can actually do that. We have the resources, we have the power to help out the community.
Well, now, what are some of the things that Seaport Lodge does for the community? I know years ago, a lot of the charitable work and other things that the Masons did wasn't kept secret, but it just wasn't sort of ballyhooed. It was done not necessarily behind the scenes, but it certainly didn't get the ink that in the newspaper, perhaps, that other projects might have done. What are some of the things that Seaport does in the community?
Well, one of the very first things that we have done, and we've been doing for the last few years, actually almost 10 years now, is we've been helping out our local Boy Scout troop, Troop 211. And how we helped them out is they needed a place to stay. They were unfortunately not able to meet at the Episcopal Church next door, and they needed a place to store their equipment, to do their meetings that they hold once a week. And that gives us an opportunity to help them out in a way that not very many places are able to help them out, which is to work with them on a one-on-one basis. The Boy Scouts are very important to us. It's kind of the first step of being a philanthropist. They go out and they help out the community. They start building bonds at a young age also. And so that's one of the very first things that we've started doing. The second is we've been starting to work with the Women's Resource Center, what I've talked about briefly before. We put on a couple of years ago a barbecue over at the Fred Meyers, and we were able to raise a little over $800 for that event. It was a one-day barbecue. And I got to tell you, the looks on their faces and the tears from their eyes when we handed them an $800 check, it's like we gave them $1 million. It was quite amazing.
Terrific.
It really made us feel good. And so we've been helping them in the last couple of years put on their event that they have, their Soup Bowl feed. And that has brought us as Freemasons here in Seaport closer together to want to do more for the community itself.
Well, now, as we move into the final 5 minutes, so we've got a little time to recap about the building work. You've got this fundraiser coming up September the 7th. That's a Saturday. And do you have a particular goal on how much you'd like to raise at that event?
Well, my goal would be $50,000.
Okay.
But
I'll just write you a check and you can skip the dinner. How's that?
But
just kidding.
No, it's okay. But unfortunately, we're actually looking to do quite a few events. So we've broke it down into hopefully $10,000 increments. It's very reasonable to get there with the donations and with the dinner tickets itself. And then if this goes as well as planned, continue to do this every year. And then use some of our savings, of course, and put back into the building. But, you know, this is a community center. Most people don't realize it's open. If a nonprofit organization needs to use it, they just need to call me, and I'm able to work with them. If somebody needs to use it for a last-minute event, it's open. We can house 225 people.
It's lower floor, sometimes called dance floor, because it's been used for proms, is really beautiful. It's one of the most impressive floor spaces in the city. Gets used very, very frequently. We have full kitchen facilities. It's a three-store building. It's really unique in terms of its looks. It's got wonderful architecture inside in terms of railings, in terms of the way it's built. It reminds one of 19th century or earlier.
Remind me what date the building dates back to, approximately.
1923.
Okay, because that was just after the big Astoria fire, wasn't it? Was the older building damaged before that?
The older building was down on Commercial Street, actually burnt down. And we were able to save some of those artifacts and transfer them over to the new lodge building, 1923.
We've got the event coming up. What else is on the horizon for Seaport Lodge?
We've got a couple events that we've got scheduled for next year. We would like to do some stuff for... In fact, we've done it before. We put on a breakfast for the homeless. We want to work with the Women's Resource Center again, and hopefully get hooked up with some of the other nonprofits that need help in the community. We've actually helped out the Lower Columbia Time Bank, which is a nonprofit that takes people's time and puts it into the resources of working with the community itself. Hopefully work with other nonprofits is our biggest goal.
Now, if people want to get involved in being a Mason, I guess this is your free plug. How do you go about that? Do you wait to be asked, or how does that work?
It's not difficult. If you know somebody who's a Mason and they make it known to you that they're a Mason, all you have to do is ask them, and they will give you an application, a so-called investigation. That sounds very official and all is supposed to be done. But, you know, a little bit is found out about the person's background. Generally speaking, it's not hard to become a Mason at all. Just a willingness to serve, I think, is the main element. And you have people from just a variety of different places on the spectrum.
Is there a phone number that we might be able to broadcast appropriately?
503-741-9007.
Okay, so everyone got that 503-741-9007. And is that who's that?
That is my cell phone.
That's Milo. So, well, my goodness, willing to give out his cell phone here on the radio. Well, thank you, Milo Haskell and Steve Burke, for being with us here on After Deadline. This is Patrick Webb from the Daily Astorian signing off, and our thanks to our studio engineer, Richard Ridgway. Doesn't often get a plug on the radio, but thank you, Richard, for doing all the technical stuff and those knobs and dials. You're listening to Coast Community Radio in Astoria and elsewhere, the best radio station in the world. Thank you for listening today, and goodbye.